Good afternoon. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. It is Friday, March the 4th in the afternoon, and the world is in turmoil, but that does not stop the upcoming elections, the provincial elections in Ontario. In fact, that election is June the 2nd, which is sure to be a referendum on how the province feels about the handling of the COVID issues for the last few years. But a lot of people are basically sick and tired of politics, distrustful of politics, and especially so because it's dominated by the mainstream political parties. And this afternoon, I am going to introduce you, or in some cases, reintroduce you to Mr. Baman Yazdanfar, who has been a pioneer in the development and encouraging independent candidates to run. And he has gone so far as to create a mechanism, in fact, a party, if you will, of independent candidates, but they express themselves as individuals. So this will be a fascinating discussion this afternoon. Welcome, Baman. How are you today?
Not bad. How about you? Glad to see you.
All right. Tell me, are you excited about this upcoming Ontario election?
Excited is a little bit understatement, especially after last 2 years, as you mentioned. I am more anxious than excitement because I believe, first of all, every election is important, but this particular one, and especially in Ontario, is probably one of the most important elections that is coming to play.
Lifetime, one of the most important in your lifetime?
No, for Ontarians.
For Ontarians
and Canadians. Ah. And mainly the reason is because Ontario is the largest population of the Canada. And in last 2 years, people have been really incarcerated in their home under pretext of the health and safety issue based on the draconians policies that is brought to them by their government. And It is the government that they have selected or elected last time.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people would support you in that point of view, but let's backtrack a little bit. You know, Baman, and I've known you for, 15 years, I think, at this point.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah, this is 14, 15 years, yeah.
14 or 15 years, and I don't think in my life I have ever met anybody who is so committed to and interested in the political process and has worked so hard to be involved in it, influence it, but still to date has never been a member of one of the mainstream political parties. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, but with no success, at least in the view of the people.
What do you mean, no success? I mean
a success if you ask ordinary people what is success, you must be elected or you must be collect some sort of the salary from the political establishment. I haven't collected a dime from the political establishment. And so even I had this discussion.
You're not able to yet live off a pension from having a
pension of the poly. Oh, well, that is the only elite club member are entitled to. Well, usually people call me politician. I said, I am not politician. Politician is someone who collects at least a few dollars from the political system. I am in the politics, but I am not politician.
So notwithstanding all the work you've done, the energy you've put in, and all the intelligent observations that you've shared with the world, you have yet to collect even 1 cent from the political process.
Yes, I haven't. In fact, I devoted last 11 years to establish this party and doing all of the tedious paperwork for the elections in Ontario, regardless of the having any so-called successful, and I'm using that word ironically.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I see you as tremendously successful, all the things you've done, including your party, but I actually think of you, you know, and I mentioned this to you some years ago, I used the word electionologist. I mean, I yes. think, Tom, and you are one yes. of the great electionologists of our age.
Thank you very much. I don't know, is it a compliment or is it a bad thing?
It's absolutely a compliment. It may be really dirty work, but somebody's got to do it.
Of course, of course.
And you definitely do it very well. But let's go back in time, mm-hmm. you know, a number of years that predates all this stuff. So, you know, it's funny. I remember, I actually remember the first time I met you. I mean, that's kind of a funny story, isn't it?
Yes, both of us were, without knowing each other, just on a one sunny afternoon, met each other in middle of the nowhere in one street in the Toronto Center. Oh, sorry, Toronto Danforth area. And we both have a series of the paper in our hands. And you approach me with your colleague at that time, assistant helping you, and ask me if I live in the area and I can give you a signature for the your application for nomination as a candidate. And I said, yes, if you do that, you have to do the same for me because I am running as well. So that is how we met.
So we're both collecting signatures, and I'm happy to report that I gave you a signature. And
yes, and I did the same. Yes.
We've basically been friends ever since, I guess, right?
Yes, and then the friendship started shortly after. But it was very interesting when I went to submit my application. I was asked by the electoral officer, oh, there is John Richardson. He is a candidate too. I said, yes, my name is in his paper too.
Oh, really? That's very interesting. Yeah, and then we went through that 2008 election together. Now, interestingly, I was an independent, and I think actually you were not running as an independent on that
one. I tried to run as an independent, but I did not know how to get an auditor at that time. And I was kind of the ignorant about the process. And the time was running out. A friend of mine told me, why don't you try one of these fringe small parties? And interestingly enough, by then even, I did not know there are other parties outside of the so-called mainstream parties.
Oh my God, you didn't know that?
I did not know that because it was my first election, first time that I was running. And my focus mostly was over the political system and the policies rather than who is running. My interest was not on who rather than what is happening.
Oh my God, you were a purist, I guess. That's interesting.
When I checked that there were like 18 different registered political parties, and I tried to get as much as information I could through the internet, and I found a party that has a number of the issues that aligned with my way of thinking, and not all of their issues, but just a couple of them. One of them was sovereignty. Another one was the monetary system and the independence and fiscal response.
Was that the Canadian Action Party?
Yes, that was Canadian Action Party.
Okay. Now, my impression is, and I apologize to any listeners if I'm wrong on this, but I don't think they exist anymore. Is that right?
No, they deregistered. And it was very interesting. Just after that 2008 election, shortly after that, the leadership of that party started to get some sort of the in disarray, and eventually they deregistered and they vanished. So this.
Well, the problem being, of course, and you and I, well, at least I've been through this. The problem of trying to keep a small party registered. I mean, you know, you need, I think, 200 signatures, but boy.
250 declaration, not signature.
50 declarations?
For the federal party, you need to provide 250 declaration of the membership.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Is it 250?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it was the last time I checked.
Yeah, so I went through that to keep the Progressive Canadian Party alive one year, and that was an unbelievable job. It's so much more difficult to get signatures, you know, to keep a party declarations, to keep a party going than it is to get nominating signatures to run federally, which is, I think, still 100, isn't it?
Yes, and it's still, and not only that, in order to keep the party registered, every 2-3 years, I don't know exactly what is the period on that, but still you have to do the same thing.
Very, very difficult.
Yes.
The last time I did it, I agreed to do this for the Progressive Canadian Party, keep it going. I had no idea what I was getting into. It was unbelievable. Because it's bad enough to get the declarations, but Elections Canada was sending out these letters to everybody who signed a declaration saying, did you really sign this?
Yes, I heard that, in my experience in the last at least 14, 15 years that I have been directly involved with the political process, every policy, federally or provincially, by Elections Canada or Elections Ontario, is being brought to the table, unfortunately, is to discourage independents and small parties from full participation.
Absolutely. It is unbelievable how difficult it is to run these things, if you're not one of the mainstream parties. But all right. So back to 2008, that was an interesting election. And I really feel that I think for both you and for me, was a bit of a springboard in continuing this whole independent candidates thing. Because as I think back, wasn't that that amazing debate where Jack Layton never showed up in his own riding?
Yes, that was, in my case, at least from my point of view, was a blessing to get to know you better and become friends, as we have been. And that was when I was denied from participation in the local debate, while Jack Layton, who chose not to show up, sent one of his proxies, who was an MPP, to the federal election to speak on behalf of the candidate.
Right.
And then the facilitator, if you remember, get to the point that wanted him to be there, but the audience and the other candidates on the stage objected to his view, and it was put to the vote to the audience. And if I am not mistaken, in fact, he did it twice to make sure that most of the audience want to have the substitute not to participate in the debate.
It was an overwhelming rejection
of
Mr. Layton sitting aside.
And I remember then, I think you and a number of another Liberal Party candidate, both of you asked the facilitator that we have an independent someone from Canadian Action Party who is here, and he put it that on the vote, and nobody knew me, and nobody knew about the party even, but overwhelmingly asked yes.
Yeah, because I do remember you being on the stage, but I'll tell you what I cannot understand thinking back is why I was allowed on the stage and you weren't at that point, because, I was an independent, right? I mean, it was clearly one more effort, to try to keep small parties and independents out of the debate.
Yes, at that time, I did not know. Their excuse was, we did not receive your RSVP.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But later on, after I read a few small articles regarding that debate, I noticed no one, without even speaking to me, consider me, I am a representative of the 9/11 truthers, which we never even discussed that. I don't know why they got to that conclusion, but I think they assume because I am running with the Canadian Action under the flag of Canadian Action Party, therefore I belong to a group of the so-called conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, I do remember that evening, you know, it was a very interesting evening. And of course, you know, the evening notwithstanding, I think I may have been the only debate, interestingly. You know, the world unfolded the way everybody predicted. I think Jack Layton did win. The Green Party, as usual, underperformed. I've never understood why in Toronto, Danforth, et cetera, et cetera. But okay, so then the election. And then, so your commitment to the independent candidate thing really started after that, right?
And when we start talking, you and I and a number of other people, we realize that we are completely disenfranchised because we are either independent or a small party candidate. Therefore, because we don't have money or resources available to us the way that it is available to 3 or 4 mainstream parties, then we realized, actually, if you remember, we discussed Westminster parliamentary system in depth, you and I, later on that year. And we realized that, hey, there is no mention of the party in this system. It is just the coalition of the votes or voters.
Yeah, a party is nothing but a voting coalition.
Yeah. So you and I, actually, you brought an issue that an idea that it's better to have a party, not in the form of the mainstream party, but a hub to share individual experiences, either for election process or for the knowledge of the politics with each other, so we help independents to get on their feet and have the courage to go ahead.
Yeah. That summarizes a lot of the things. The, you know, in my experience, having said at sort of, you know, these debate tables with, you know, a variety of people, usually mainstream party candidates, is that I think the independent candidates are generally much better, you know, because they're not there just sort of, you know, a talking book of what have you. And you can see that it actually played out in municipal politics in Toronto, which is not a party centric a voting process. And that's why the municipal candidates I find in Toronto tend to be very, very good. But the thing that we were trying to do there, I think the idea was how to give independent candidates the benefits of being part of a group so they didn't feel so isolated. The benefits to some extent of having other people to bounce ideas off, but at the same time, allow them to keep their independence in terms of their thinking and everything else. In other words, to kind of get the best of both worlds. And I think the next step in my recollection of this is that we began talking about what was sort of a coalition of independent candidates. Was that?
Yeah, yes. And you're correct, because we knew that if individuals want to run individually with no support of the intellectual support mainly of the other people, the way the candidates of the mainstream parties have, then if we have that coalition, so we can have some sort of the kind of the group therapy kind of the thing that we can get together and ask each other either by phone or by any other means of the communication that, hey, I have this problem, can you help me? And so on. So I remember you arranged a few months later, early 2009, a group of people across Canada to get together in a kind of the series of the telephone conferences. Yeah. So we didn't just focus on your idea or my idea. We gathered all sort of the different ideas from anywhere from British Columbia all the way to Newfoundland. We had people all over the place that they give us their own point of view. Unfortunately, it did not materialize in a form of the federal party at that time, and mainly because of the huge gap between the opinions, and secondly, come back to the regulation of Elections Canada in regards to collection of all of those declarations.
Right.
In fact, we attempted to collect For instance, we collect about, I think, 25 or 26 from my part, another two dozen from another part, but we couldn't manage it.
But I do remember those being extremely interesting calls. You know, a lot of bright people. I mean, of course, you're going to find all kinds of conflicting views. But I mean, that just goes with the terrain of that type of thing. Now, that lasted, I guess, about a year or so, didn't it, or less? Why did that?
I think we started around February, March, and it lasted to, I think, July or August, something like that.
Okay. Okay. You know, it's funny. I do recall that. I remember.
No, I mean, the telephone, still we had phone conversation after that, but the number of the participant become less and less.
Okay. All right. And then there was, I think that, a person has played a very, very prominent role in the, you know, consistently over the years, and the whole consciousness of independent candidates would have to be, I think we should give a shout out to Steve Gary.
Of course. He was one of those who continued to stay in the conference with another one or two other people with us for almost very close to the end of the year, and later on become our friends as well. And he had previously established a party by the name of the Democrat Party of Canada or something like that, but the website is democrat.ca, and
democrat.ca, so there.
Yeah, and we went there and visited him a couple of times, and we discussed all sorts of aspects of that. But he is kind of the person, the policy man, the mind man, and he wanted to just led this democracy in the purest way to go ahead in Canada.
Yeah, he was sort of into, what would that be, sort of a Swiss style of democracy, one person, one vote, that's it.
That's which is like a direct democracy, at least we have some sayings, instead of electing someone we don't know under the flag of mainstream party, and after that we don't hear from him or her, and that person takes the order from the party leader.
Well, what that definitely represents is that, you know, there's so many different kinds of democracies, right? And so many different ideas about how democracy should work. And that, as I recall, during that, I'm going to use the cluster word 1 year, however long those discussions were going on, seemed to me to be the nub of a lot of it, because I can remember, very heated discussions with sort of Steve, you know, one end, right? You know, the one person, one vote. You know, some of the other ideas, they criticized that on the basis of, for example, somebody being able to quickly accumulate votes, accumulate candidates, et cetera. But I mean, the only point to that is that it's not like there's any agreement on what independent candidates really should be advocating for, with one exception. The common thread, I think, for all of them was the view that the candidate, right, or the member of parliament should represent the community and not a party, right? That was a pretty strong.
Well, yes, we came to to coin the phrase, the cities belong to the riding, not to the belong to the individual.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that was true. That was true for all of them. So the idea was the independent candidates would be responsive to the riding who elected them. First and foremost, perhaps exclusively, and not, you know, beholden to some political party. Right. In other words,
that's correct.
not to act like a party member, which is basically, you know, the whole voting coalition problem. So, you know, that all sounds so good in theory, right? But it's very, very difficult to organize and market. And I think the general public is much happier, you know, just say, well, you know, liberal, conservative, green, NDP, what have you. Why in the public consciousness do they seem more comfortable voting for a party label than an individual candidate? What's your theory?
Well, to my view, there are two or three factors involved. First of all, from sales point of view, when you put more than a couple of choice for an individual, it's very difficult for them to choose. Secondly, conditioning. As you know, the name of the party came to the effect to appear on a ballot since 1972.
You know, can you elaborate on that? Like, I think that is an incredibly important point, and I never heard anybody mention it. But or let me paraphrase, and you know, you can add. But if I'd forgotten that 72 was the precise year, but assuming that 72 is the year, prior to that, on the ballot, the names of the individual candidates appeared without
That's
a party
correct.
Affiliation.
That's correct. That's correct.
The problem then is you actually have to vote for a candidate, right?
That's correct.
Seems like more work is required in voting. And then assuming 72 is the year, then all of a sudden, you know, the party name, the party affiliation appeared beside the candidate. So, you know, people didn't even have to learn anymore who their candidate was or anything about their candidate.
If they yes, gradually,
liberal.
Yes.
Or liberal.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
That seems to me to be a really big problem because, you know, the more years I observe this stuff, the more I'm inclined to believe that participation in voting and democracy in general requires a lot of work to maintain. You know, I mean, you've got to actually ask these candidates questions. You've got to know who you're voting for. And, you know, a democracy is much more than just somebody can vote, right?
Of course. I can't recall who said that something I'm paraphrasing in the United States, that I give you the republic, it is for your job to maintain it. And democracy is not, let me put it this way, it is like you study your own business.
It's not a spectator sport.
No, and you like a business, there is an old expression from Middle East, it says business is like a calf cow. If you don't attend to it, it dies, and if you attend to it, you have to manage it. So democracy should be like that. And unfortunately, the way that is why I said one of the factors is conditioning of the people. After 1972, when they start to put this name of the parties in the ballot, on the ballots, so after a few years, people were conditioned gradually to say, oh, okay, there is a red, blue, and a orange, and now there is a green, and there is another blue and white, for instance. So yeah. It is easier for me to not to know. Who am I voting for?
That's right. I mean, you know, why bother learning who you're voting for where there's a guide or a party to show?
And then another problem with that with this issue is the amount of the work, as you said, from the point of view of the candidates. If you look at the candidates who ran in 80s or 70s or even 90s, they were running around the city with their flyer in their hand and trying to shake as many hands they could. Now, in last 10, 15 years, party does all of the marketing and advertising. You don't see any candidate outside. You see them in the town halls. They provide a couple of the local candidates meetings or debates, which they don't even let us to participate. And therefore,
you and I had a response to that in 2012.
That's correct. And I think it was the last time we had a real, the kind of real all candidates.
That was one for the ages. And that's something I think we can take credit for.
I think people can find it on YouTube as well. Toronto Danforth by election, all candidates debates.
Yeah. So what happened was, regrettably, regardless of your political persuasion, Jack Layton unexpectedly died. And there was a by-election in 2012 to choose his replacement. And, you know, as usual, the mainstream parties were out there, you know, with their candidates. But, you know, there were no debates, certainly anywhere. But, you know, we were concerned with Toronto Danforth because that's where we live.
And it was the only by-election then.
Yeah, and it was the only by-election. But, you know, I had informally created, or we had informally created, because we participated in these things together, you know, this thing called Toronto Danforth Debates, right? And yes, the reason for that was, one, to make sure there were debates. And secondly, to make sure that all candidates were invited to the debates. In other words, no more of this excluding candidates. And I think that was, you know, I'm very proud of that. And continue.
Of course, you should be, baby, because it was one of the very few debates that not only all candidates, regardless of their ability and their affiliation, were invited, which not, actually except two, the rest of them showed up. And but also you provided equal opportunity and equal time for every single question to every candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of the focusing on the giving the what is that? Instead of the candidates from mainstream parties have more privilege, like other debates, to take over the whole 2 hours and talk about their party.
Well, yeah, you know, that was one for the ages. You know, you ought to encourage people to watch that video, because I think it shows you, you know, the power, if you will, of independent candidates and the role that they can actually play. But I mean, I remember, you know, it was so interesting because it was the only by-election. Jack Layton, of course, was so prominent as NDP leader. You know, all the major media were there that night. You remember Justin Trudeau was there and came
of
up.
He was giving instruction into the ears of his candidate Grant something. Grant.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean he was there, and who else was there? Oh, the great Sinclair Stevens and his wife Nora.
Yes. Not only that, we had three major. Two or three major broadcasting companies were there too. However, here is interesting fact for your audience. They recorded the whole 2 hours or 2 hours plus of debate. And at the end on TV, they only showed 30 seconds of their interview outside with Justin Trudeau.
that's hilarious. Well,
none of us were there. Nobody talked to us. Nobody
That's
gave
too bad
anything.
Because, I mean, that was really one for the ages. I mean, the chemistry, you know, just the general energy level in the room that night was absolutely unbelievable.
Actually, that particular debate provide two major results. One was, as you said, that there are brilliant people that run as an independent or from the small party that who can provide better ideas, better policies. And secondly, and more importantly, that candidates of the mainstream parties are not as special as they are being portrayed.
Oh, that is for sure. That is absolutely for sure. But you and I have known that.
Well, we know that, but that debate really showed
it did.
How ill prepared the mainstream candidates are regarding the policy of their own parties, even. Because when they are being debated, when they were debated, they couldn't provide proper answer.
Yeah. Well, you know, we should also give a shout out to Dorian Baxter, as another perennial candidate who was, you know, I think a major contributor to that evening.
Yes, he is a good orator, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they're representing the Progressive Canadian Party, which, you know, is another small party that, you know, eventually collapsed, you know, I think under the regulatory weight of, you know, the same rules, the same Election Canada rules basically applying to these small parties that apply to big parties, right?
Yes. And even when it comes to finance, the big parties, they probably have accountant and the number of their staff and the subsidies, which small parties don't have. And they have to provide the same level of the administrative requirement as the elections body asked them for.
Yeah, and it is incredibly difficult. I mean, the sheer bureaucracy of this, which is why, you know, which is why I think, you know, your idea and your achievement in this is actually so remarkable, because
I try to keep the paperwork for the last 10, 11 years.
Well, you know, it reminded me of that old Greyhound bus ad, you know, leave the driving to us. So, you know, by creating the Canadians' Choice Party, it was really leave the administration to us. We'll figure it out for you, right?
Yes.
You know, all you have to do is concentrate, or not all, but mainly, okay, you have to concentrate on being a candidate, you know. And I think that you know, was a remarkable achievement, Bob. And
thank you.
I want to congratulate you for creating it. I want to congratulate you for sticking with it. And
hopefully I can pass the buttons.
and I want to encourage you to do your best to, you know, and I'm hoping that this discussion we're having can be part of it, to encourage people to run as independent candidates, either as independents or, if they like, under the umbrella of the Canadians' Choice Party, which you've created.
Well, if anyone who runs, who plans or who wishes to run under the Canadians' Choice Party shouldn't be worried about losing his or her own independence, because the party, it has only four pillars, doesn't have any platform as like a cookie cutter or the combo that you get from the fast food store, because mainstream political parties provide you with a combo. It is the liberal combo. It is the conservative combo. So if you elect us, you get this much, you get that much. But in reality,
you know, a good analogy might be that, you know, if you want to run for the Liberals, it's like buying a Liberal franchise. You know, it comes with all kinds of rules, regulations.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, but under Canadians' Choice is, we're going to get rid of the real hassles here and make it easier for you to do this and free you up from all those franchise type restrictions, right?
Yes, and one of the major distinction between this particular party and any other party, even a smaller other small party, is this is not ideology based party.
Oh, are you sure about that? Isn't the ideology, course, the candidate's response?
It is purely constituency based party.
Well, that's what I mean. I think that, yeah. I think that's very ideological, precisely because that's absent with all, you know, all of the other parties.
Well, ideological in the sense of, oh, I am left or right or center or
okay. No, that is all true. And that mm-hmm. There have not been tons and tons of candidates. It hasn't been around that long, but they have been very different candidates. But I'd like to go back to the early years.
Sure.
As you created it, and you know, as I watched you, and sure, we knew each other, but I've got to say that this was 100% your achievement. 100% your
achievement. No, it is achievement of the couple of people who ran with me.
Well, anyway, okay. So tell me what was involved in actually creating this damn thing.
First of all, that was by coincidence, because I was focusing on the federal party at that time because of our history of going through those conferences and all of that for a year or so. We put a lot of work, including yourself, as well as a few others. Steve Gary was another one. But by coincidence, in 2011, I thought, let me see what is the difference between the Elections Ontario and Elections Canada. And I found out registration of the party with Elections Ontario is not as difficult as the Elections Canada. Either you could have 1,000 signatures, 1,000, but signature, not declaration, or you could have two candidates in any given election in order to register a party.
That doesn't sound too onerous, does it?
No. Course, but there is but there was lots of paperwork, though.
Well, you know, I can never do that because I'm so allergic to forms. I hate forms.
I know. You are not that administrative.
Absolutely not. But so I take my hat off to you, Bob, and that, you know, you're able to do that so well.
Especially English is not my mother language. That makes it a little bit more difficult.
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it makes it more interesting than that. But I mean, I certainly would have collapsed under the weight of the bureaucracy of it. So, yeah. Very, very good. Now, so you put this thing together, and it's CanadiansChoice.ca, and it's an Ontario registered political party, correct?
Yes.
Let's go through the history of it. I mean, just to sort of show the growth in that. So the first, was it 2011?
2011, October 2011 was the first run. We had three candidates, including myself.
Okay, three candidates. Okay, all right. And that's interesting.
Because I needed to have two, first of all, me and someone else.
Of course, but you
had, and then I got another one.
Well, you know, Obama, you've always been an overachiever. I mean, that's what, you know, if I'd been running and I would have said two, that's it. We're not going to do more than
50% more.
Okay. And I don't remember who the candidates were, but they obviously were would have been very different people, I think, right?
So yeah, yes. Actually, one of them was you.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me.
All right. Yeah, but you didn't want to do the paperwork.
Did you do the paperwork for me?
Yeah.
That also doesn't surprise me. Okay. All right. Well, I thank you for that, Bob.
But you ran.
Sorry?
But you ran.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then we had another gentleman from St. Catharines. He ran too.
Okay. All right.
And then we didn't have any other elections till I don't participate usually to by-elections because of the very small participation of the voters. And besides, this is more become localized, like a family feud kind of the thing. And then we had a premature election of 2014. I don't recall.
The 2014 election.
Yeah, baby, we're supposed to have 2015. If you remember, in one of the confidence vote, the leader of the NDP didn't show up in the Queen's Park. And then on the following weekend, which was the next day or following day, she goes in front of the press conference and provide her opinions. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Andrea Horvath. And because of that, then Kathleen Wynne went and ask for the election. But the election was not due till 2015.
Okay.
So we had this 2014 premature election. Then we had a couple of the people, including Mr. Baxter, Dorian Baxter, was in that election.
That's right. Now, when did he run for the...
It was 2014, I believe.
2014, 2015.
Again, my memory getting faded these days.
Well, you know, it's a lot of elections over the years. Yeah. Okay. So basically, the Canadians' Choice Party has continued.
And we keep keeping the paper every year, providing all of the returns. And then in 2016, we decided to expand it. I registered about 8 or 9 constituency associations.
Wow.
However, they chose the people who were selected for those constituency associations in a small mini coup d'etat. They decided all of a sudden to withdraw. And in 2018, again, we had the election that Doug Ford was elected, and we had 5 candidates, including myself.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. So all these candidates, though, they were, I mean, very different people. I mean, there's no...
Completely different people.
So no one candidate is, you know, should be associated particularly with the views of any other candidate other than the, you know, the commitment to sort of a pure form of representative democracy, right?
Yes, I received a number of the calls from different people. It was very funny that... they find the name of the leader of the party, they call me and they start to complain about the character of one of the candidates, or a couple of them rather. And my answer to them was, if you don't like him, don't vote for him. That is the end of the line. Why are you complaining to me? I am not going to order. I'm not ordering a candidate how to think.
Well, you know, it is interesting. You know, when you look at the way politics seems to work these days. You know, we look, for example, at the last federal election, and I moderated a debate on that. And, you know, there's a lot of people who think the candidates shouldn't run because they find their views objectionable, you know, which really is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, the election is exactly the time, you know, to get a variety of views into the marketplace of ideas. And, you know, will help you get a clearer sense of the things you support, you don't support.
Even beyond the election, it is democracy. The meaning, again, we earlier discussed that it takes time and work to keep the democracy moving.
But sure.
I mean, if you want to have a homogenized, conformist society, then you don't need democracy. You just put a dictator over there and tell the people what to do and how to do it.
Well, and you mask it by having an election.
Well, yeah, we have it in last at least 20 years here.
Okay. So here we are. We know the next election is the 2nd of June. And everybody knows that. You know, we can see the Ford government is already, you know, trying to buy votes, which maybe that's not a bad thing. I don't know, but, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So Obama, you know, you are going to be looking to get candidates, independent candidates, basically to round out your party, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm just working on putting a message on the social media. Again, we are not resourceful at Dog 40, is that to provide billions of dollars to buy votes. Just I am in the process of preparing something by the end of the month through the social media. And basically is as follow. If you are tired of the mainstream parties, there is other solution available to you or other option available to you. You can just provide me with a little mini biography, a resume, and a memorandum, so I can send a memorandum of understanding that you are on your own, you are completely independent, but you are getting the experience and the knowledge of the other independents if you choose to, and run in your ranks.
Well, of course, as I think you alluded to earlier in conversation, it's amazingly easy to get on the ballot in a provincial election, isn't it?
For provincial election, you need 25 signatures, although they added a little bit of the lengthier signature form last year, or I mean in last election. So you just get 25 eligible voters in your ridings, and then provide a form to the Elections Ontario, including the endorsement of the party leader, which in this case is me. And then they are registered, and their name goes on the ballot under the Canadian Choice Party.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that makes it worth, that makes it a lot easier to do. And I think that, you know, you're really providing a valuable, I don't know if the right word is service, but a functional mechanism, you know, that's accessible to anybody so they can, you know, get on the ballot and go out and do their thing, which is great.
Yes, because most of the administrative done by me personally, so I make sure that things don't go wrong at the beginning.
I can attest to that, I think.
Then I explain that memorandum of understanding that they sign is mainly is to understand how to complete the return for Elections Ontario. It has nothing to do, there is no obligation to me or the party. It is obligation mainly to keep their themselves informative about the process.
Yeah.
Because some people just, which has happened to me as well, that one or two candidates neglected paperwork in the return, and that caused some sort of the problem between the Elections Ontario, me, and them as well.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, and the fact is, I think that now is better time for whoever wants to party to run under the flag of the Canadian Socialist Party, because Canadian Socialist Party been around for 10 years. The website has been around for 10 years. is not known, but still is better than completely unknown from the scratch, independent, the name of the candy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, anybody who wants to run as an independent, first of all, it's incredibly hard work. And I think most people, if they really knew how hard it was, probably wouldn't do it. And this is a way, you know, to kind of ease into it. So you can be an independent, but have all the, you know, the trappings and, you know, the support of, you know, a party network, which is great.
And especially I mentioned earlier in our conversation that this particular election is very important. Right now, as of last election, we had about close to 40% non-voters. And because of the last 2 years restrictions, and as you said, less trust between the voters and their political establishments, I am pretty sure the number of the participation in next election, if the choice, more choices is not available to them, will be even more.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see, but the time to get started with this is now. Well, you know, Bob, this has been a great discussion, and actually, from my point of view, also a wonderful trip down memory lane. You know, with all the history of this independent candidate stuff, which I thank you for. And I suggest that we, you know, that we pick this up periodically as, sure. You know, as this unfolds. And
especially up to 20, from here and up to 22nd of the June.
Absolutely.
Because lots of things could happen and will happen.
Sure. So, Bob, and in closing here, how would people get in touch with you? Where do they find information about
it? They can just go to www.canadianspluralchoice.com.
Is it .com
or .ca? .com or .ca, doesn't matter. .com is fine. Okay. Both of them is registered. I mean, they're interlinked anyhow. Mm-hmm. And not only they can see the a lot of information if they want to just educate themselves, but also they can go to the constitution of the party and see that whatever I just told you is like a picture frame of the process. The process has been spelled out in 18-19 page that how the party works.
That's great.
And the leader doesn't have the full power like a czar or anything like that.
Yeah, the leader is more the administrative person.
Exactly. A mediator, administrator. Although the party at this time is in infancy, but nevertheless, when it gets grow, if it grows, and when it grows, then all of those stuff that is written in the items that is written that are written in the constitution become very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. All right, well, this has been great. So why don't we call it for now, so we have things to talk about down the road.
Thank you.
So again, I'm John Richardson, and I'm speaking with Bob and Yasin Farr, who, among his other great many achievements, is perhaps his most enduring one as the founder of the Canadians' Choice Party. So thanks for spending the time today.
Thanks, John. Thank you for having me.
Okay.